How many of you have ever tried something new? Anybody ever tried something new? Thank you. How many of you have ever been a little nervous when you tried something new? Absolutely. Thank you. I am Alan Warren, and today's message is God's healing touch. And I want to thank you for gathering together in worship today. Today you will learn a little bit about prayer. If there's a connection between prayer and getting better. And as I told in my email on Thursday, doing this healing service is something new for me. And so I'm feeling a little nervous about it here this morning. Maybe that's why I skipped over the sermon. I don't know. So my question for you this morning is, tell a person around you of a time when you tried something new. How did you feel about trying it? And I guess, how did it work out? So find someone you usually don't talk to, introduce yourself, and share a time you tried something new. Go for it. Please stop. Thank you. From the noise, we must have a lot of adventurous spirits among us because you've all tried some things that are new. And you can continue talking about it at coffee. For morning devotions this week, I am going to ask you to read the stories between our first gospel lesson in Luke, in chapter 4, on through to the second gospel lesson in chapter 6. That first passage this morning gives a very good summary of Jesus' ministry. He goes to the synagogue regularly, he heals people, and he preaches the good news about the kingdom of God from place to place. Now, when you read chapter 5, you will read of two healing stories. How many healing stories? Thank you. The first, a man suffering from a dreaded skin disease. Sir, if you want to make me clean, you can. And I love Jesus' response. I want to be clean. I take great comfort from those words. I also draw from them, in a sense, God's desire that all people be made well or made whole. Well, that begs the question then, why are there so many sick people in body, mind, or spirit? Why doesn't God just heal everyone? That may also be a question in Jesus' day as well as our own. Because the next morning in our passage, Jesus gets up and goes to a lonely place. I like to add, to pray. He needs to rejuvenate mind, body, and spirit. It often says the power goes out of him. So he needs to restore himself. People find him, and then they try and stop him from going to Capernaum. from leaving Capernaum. I can almost hear them say, you know, there's more sick people that need to be made well. Please notice Jesus' response. It wasn't, bring them here to me. It was, I need to leave here because I must preach the good news of the kingdom in other towns. So that was his primary mission, preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. So much need, so few resources. Now this morning I want to ask you, what do you usually do when you're not feeling well? Lie down, thank you. Anything else? Go to the doctor, thank you. Anything else? Sleep, thank you. Rest. Let your body rejuvenate. Anything else? Pray together, thank you. To get better. Go to the emergency. Anybody ever made a trip to the emergency? I see someone shaking their head. They're very lucky. You know. Absolutely. Those are some of the things we do. Now you need to know, Jesus lived in a pre-scientific age. And people in his age believed there was a connection between sin and sickness. And that is why in the second healing story in chapter Luke, when Jesus heals a paralyzed man, religious authorities, he says to them, is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or pick up your mat and walk? I will show you the Son of Man has authority to do both. Now, besides seeing your doctor, going to emergency, you know, take 2 aspirin and see me in the morning. Isn't that what they have on the answering machine? We are asked in the book of James. James tells the members of his congregation that if anyone is sick, you are to call for the elders of the church and come and pray for you and to rub oil on you in the name of the Lord. Wow, that is something we really don't do very much in the United Church. Please notice from this passage from James, it also talks about confessing your sins and your mistakes to one another so you might be healed. Now, while healing services are not very familiar in the United Church of Canada, you need to know that the pastoral prayer today, as well as the words that will be used in the blessing later on in the service, are out of a newer United Church of Canada service book called Celebrate God's Presence. Some of you have used it when you've been looking for prayers, when you've done services in the summertime. I was very surprised once at a workshop when I heard studies have been done that show that people who are prayed for often recover quicker from an operation than those that don't. Amazing. Do you also know that there is a correlation between having a positive attitude in your life and your immune system? Building up your immune system. Wow. Confessing your sins to one another, praying for one another. I can almost hear you saying now, Al, you're going way off the radar screen for us good, timid United Church folks. And I don't disagree with you. It's not something I do often either. The author of the book of James makes an interesting point. Both through messing up, making mistakes, confessing our sins, and becoming ill, we often become isolated from the community of faith. In the case of illness, we may end up in hospital or be sick at home, be in a nursing home, and then again are isolated from gathering together here Sunday morning from worship. And so both the act of confessing our sins to one another and by the one who is sick Notice the one who is sick is told to ask the elders of the church to come and pray for them. Through both those acts, community is restored. You're restored back to the community. Both these acts involve risks, though. They make us vulnerable. We share our weaknesses, whether it be through thoughtless acts or a body that just doesn't work right anymore. And it is by becoming vulnerable, asking for prayer, whether it's because we've made mistakes or we are ill, that we make some room in our life for God's Spirit to be at work. The Good News Bible translates the Beatitudes as happy. And I think that's what was on the screen. And I just flipped it to blessed because that's what most of us are used to. Luke's gospel is very different. And that's maybe why it's not included in the lectionary readings often. It's very direct. Blessed are the poor. It's not poor in spirit, as it says in Matthew. Blessed are the hungry. It's not those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, again, as it is in Matthew's gospel. The Greek prefix mak that Luke uses means becoming larger. Perhaps God extends God's benefits by extending us, making our hearts and our circles of care larger than they once were. Being connected or reconciled to one another, again, draws the circle wider. It stretches us and helps us to grow. And I think the author of the book of James knew this. That is why he is suggesting to the congregation actually to sing together as we do through our hymns and to pray together, whether it be because you've messed up or because you are ill in body or spirit. Now, praying for those who are ill, I find always difficult. What do you pray for? I think many of us have prayed for people who have had cancer or other some serious disease, and they have had to learn to live with it. They have may not have been healed in a physical sense. But I think part of prayer is opening us to the mystery that is both God and his life, opening us up to a larger grace that may help us through the illness. Also, I often pray for wisdom and compassion for the doctors and nurses and caregivers who are helping the person who is ill. I will never forget what a doctor from Queens told a bunch of us theologues one afternoon. He came over from the medical school to the old arts building. He says, "Everyone think we, quote, the doctors, are the miracle workers." He said, "That's not true. All we can do is set the conditions right to give the body a chance to heal itself." That was a huge insight for me. All we can do is try and set the conditions right for the body to heal itself. Now, this doesn't mean not taking advantage of the best medical science can offer. But it does mean, I believe, trying to do our part to become less anxious. Anxiety robs our body of its much-needed energy to heal itself. For me, becoming less anxious is trusting in a loving, caring Creator, regardless of the outcome. Or as Paul says in Romans 14:8, "So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord." So how do you better ground yourself in God's love? Anybody have suggestions of what has worked for you? What works for you to keep you grounded in God's love and God's grace?
Gratitude.
Gratitude. Thank you. That positive attitude. Gratitude. Awesome. Anything else?
So much is good in life.
So much is good. Absolutely. Thank you. Music. Thank you. Volunteering. Absolutely. Helping others. Huge. Very big.
Worry only about things you have control over.
Worry only about things you have control over. Leave the rest to God. Be still and know that I am God. Wow. What about what you're doing now? Gathering together with others, worshiping together who have a faith, singing hymns together, as James says, praying together, learning to say I'm sorry. That is why in our service of worship each week we have a time of reflection and saying I'm sorry to remind us and to give us practice. Home devotion times, going on spiritual walks or walks in the woods. They're called spiritual disciplines. And it's what the Bullseye Aiming to Follow Jesus book we looked at a couple years ago was all about. And I have a couple still on my shelf if you're interested. It's also why we have sacraments, the bread and wine, baptism, visible signs of God's invisible grace. And that's why we're having this healing service today, where you are invited to come forward for a blessing. Illness takes many forms. Physical illness, mental illness, all kinds of illnesses. And Jesus, in Jesus' day, many illnesses were described by the word demons. To know we are loved at the core of our being, I think, can help take away some of our anxiety in life. And yes, it helps that our love has skin on through a neighbor, a friend, a family, life partner, a community of faith. It also helps if we learn that skin also to be our own, that we learn how to love ourselves, to take it easy on ourselves, to worry, as was said, only about those things I can do something about. Transforming our image of God to a loving and caring creator, one who loves us without condition and also helps us to love ourselves. Again, that doesn't mean we don't do our exercises or listen to doctors or take our medicine on time or learn to say I'm sorry or take responsibilities for our mistakes and our parts of the problems. I just find it easier to do those things when I know that I am loved beyond measure by this spirit that is beyond our imagination, that binds the universe together, as Yoda says, if you're a Star Wars fanatic, or we in the church traditionally call God. So this healing prayer or blessing is just another concrete physical reminder that the church has to remind us we are loved beyond measure. Words spoken at Jesus' baptism, and we need to say for ourselves, you are my own dear child in whom I'm well pleased, that God says to us. That you are loved beyond measure regardless of the challenges you face and regardless of whether you are baptized or not. So after the hymn today, after the pastoral prayer and the Lord's Prayer, you'll have an opportunity, if you want, to come forward and to hear the words, your name, and then in the name of Jesus Christ, know the healing power and peace of God's love in your life, and a sign of the cross is made on your forehead, the same sign that is made at baptism. Thanks be to God. Amen.